Our first scripture reading for this morning will come from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from chapter 10 of John's Gospel and reading from verses 22 through 30. And it's found on page 934 of your Pew Bibles. So at this time, let us listen to God's word for us. It was the feast of the dedication at Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you are the Christ, tell us plainly." And Jesus answered them, "I told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name, they bear witness to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish, and no one shall snatch them out of my hand. My Father, who has given them to me, is greater than all, and no one is able to snatch them out of the Father's hand. I and the Father are one." Our second scripture reading will come from the book of Psalms. We'll be reading a familiar psalm, the 23rd psalm, and it is found on page 476 of your Pew Bibles. And again, let us listen to God's word for us. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. He restores my soul. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of my enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever." It's the word of the Lord. Eternal God, we ask that the words of my mouth and the meditations of my heart be pleasing and acceptable to you, O Lord, my rock and my redeemer. In Christ Jesus' name we pray, amen. I love the month of April. It is one of my favorite months. I love the month of April, first of all, because I was born in this month, so I always have an affinity for this month because it contains my birthday. I love April, too, because it marks the beginning of spring, and spring is one of my favorite times of year, with the blossoming of the greenery and the coming out of the flowers. And so I love April because it marks the beginning of spring. I love April, too, because it is usually the time of Easter, the time when we in the church celebrate the resurrection and the victory of the forces and powers of life over the forces and powers of death. And so I love April for all of those reasons. But April also has becoming a month that I anticipate with a little bit of anxiety, not just because I'm over 50 and it's another birthday, but increasingly April seems to be the month when we often have to suffer some national tragedy. It was in April that the Virginia Tech shootings took place about 5 or 6 years ago, where 32 students were killed on campus. It was in April in Waco, Texas, that 82 members of the Branch Davidian organization were killed. It was in April of 1995 that the federal building in Oklahoma City was bombed, killing 168 people, including many children. It was also in April that the Columbine incident took place, where a number of children were killed in high school. And of course, last week in Boston, we had another situation where three people were killed and many, many more were injured, the result of an act of terror on the part of two young men. There are a lot of things we still don't know about that particular situation, but we do know that it fits a pattern of violence that we've become quite used to as a nation. And so as I listened to events coming over the airwaves and over the internet, I was delighted that one of our readings for this Sunday was the 23rd Psalm. It's a passage of Scripture that many of us are quite familiar with. Many of us memorized it as children in Sunday school or confirmation class. Many more of us heard it read countless times during funerals or some other difficult moment in our lives. Indeed, it is a psalm of comfort, one that we often repair to during moments of adversity. And so we read it this morning. No one knows for sure what the particular historical situation is that surrounds this psalm. We don't know what the psalmist is going through. It might be war, it might be sickness, it might be some personal grief. No one really knows for sure, but whatever it is, it's clear that it's a very dark and difficult period in the psalmist's life. He likens it to walking in the darkest of valleys, or as the traditional reading says, walking in the valley of the shadow of death. I love that traditional phraseology, in part because every adversity, every dark period in our lives is a reminder of the shadow that death cast over all of our lives. The Bible, if anything, is very forthright about the kind of world in which we live. It can be a world of darkness, of dark, dark valleys. It can be a world where we do evil and hurtful things to ourselves and to one another, as we are reminded last week. Some of the hurtful things that we do to one another make it in the news, but a lot of the hurtful things that we do to one another do not make it in the news. We have lots of ways of hurting one another, but we live in that kind of world. It's a world we may often feel threatened and overwhelmed and lost and at the end of our rope, just as the psalmist. The point is that none of us are immune from the tragedies of life. Bad things happen to all of us. We all have our low periods. We all have our dark periods. We all have our trials and our tribulations. But the question is, in the midst of it all, will we undergo those dark places and valleys alone, or will we have a shepherd? Will we have someone we can trust, someone who can lead us and guide us through the darkness? The psalmist confidently declares that he will not be afraid. Even though I'm walking through the darkest of valleys, he says, even though I feel threatened on every side, even though the forces and powers of death are all around me, I will not be afraid. I will fear no evil, because you, O God, are with me. Because I know, O God, I can count on you. I can hold on to you. I can follow you. You are with me even in this darkest time. Even in the midst of this deepest of valley, you are with me. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm of confidence and trust. Confidence and trust not only in our own devices or our own abilities or our own resources. Confidence and trust not in our military or not in the FBI or not in the CIA or not in our technological gadgets that allow us to be able to perform the task that we need to perform to make sure that we are safe. But confidence and trust in the abiding presence of God, who is always with us, who never leaves us, whose companionship is able to transform every situation that we might find ourselves in, no matter how dire. Confidence and trust in God, the God who is always with us, the God who is our shepherd, is the very opposite of fear. That's why one of the constant refrains that we hear in the Bible, in both the Old Testament and the New Testament, is the refrain, don't be afraid. Don't be afraid. Don't be worried. Don't let your heart be troubled. Believe in God. Trust in God. Know that God is with you in the deepest of valleys. Do not be afraid. And yet fear is such a powerful and pervasive force in our society. We saw that last week, particularly with all the voices in the media ratcheting up the fear 24/7, appealing to some of our worst instincts. The point is that whenever we become afraid, we do dangerous things. Whenever we become afraid, we stop putting our faith and trust in God, and we start putting our faith and trust in other things. There are all kinds of things we do when we're afraid. We start lashing out. When we become afraid, we don't think about the long-term consequences. Over 12 years ago, on September 11, we were afraid as we watched those twin towers come crumbling down. And I have to admit, I was gripped with fear. What's going on here in this nation where, in this mighty nation in which we live, where we see two iconic symbols of our nation come crumbling down? And I have to admit, I was afraid. I was a little afraid again when I heard about that bombing in Boston, and again about those letters being sent to Congress and to the president. What's going on? Who is behind this? I had my own suspicions about who was behind it. Many of us probably had our own suspicions about who was behind it. We all had our favorite villains, but the fact is we are afraid. And whenever we become afraid, we're not at our best. We stop putting our faith and trust in God, and we begin to idolize other things. Guns, for instance. One of the reasons that we can't have a sensible gun policy is because we're afraid. Got to have our guns, not just any guns, but assault rifles that can kill lots of people. We got to have them because we're afraid. We don't care how many children that we will be willing to sacrifice to the gun god. We got to have them because we're afraid. Got to have our guns. We believe in violence. We worship violence, just like those two young men. We start believing in that. Even some of us in the church, we start believing in that. Start believing in violence because we are afraid. Of course, that's what the terrorists want. They want us to be afraid. They want us to be hunkered down in fear. They know that whenever we start being hunkered down in fear, we start doing destructive things. They know that our fear leads to anger, and anger leads to hatred. And once we start hating, we're in the devil's territory. Once we start hating, we're playing on the devil's end of the field. Once we start hating, we're playing the same games that the terrorists are playing. But we are afraid. And yet the psalmist can say that even though I walk through the valley of darkness, even though I feel threatened, even though death is on every side, I will not be afraid. I will not fear any evil because I know that I am not alone. I know, God, that you are with me. You are my rod and my staff. You are my shepherd. You comfort me. And so I will not be afraid. I will not let fear permeate my heart. I will not let fear condition my heart and my mind. I will not be afraid. I will not be afraid because you, O God, are with me. As Christians, we know that the God who is with us is none other than the God who we come to know in the Lord Jesus Christ. That's what we are told in the Gospel of Emmanuel, in the Gospel of Matthew, that Jesus is Emmanuel. He is God with us. He is the God who is with us in the midst of adversity. He is the God who leads us and guides us beside still waters. He is the God who promises to be with us all the days of our lives. He is the God who promises to be with us even until the end of the age. He is with us because he is our shepherd. And we are his sheep. We belong to him. And so we don't have to be afraid. To belong to Jesus is to hear his voice. It is to recognize his voice above the cacophony of all those other voices out there that would have us to be afraid. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we just would listen to the voice of Jesus, listen for the voice of Jesus, and tune all of those other voices out? I'm glad I don't have a television, so I don't have to listen 24/7 to all of those news reports and all of those pundits out there whose job more and more is to make us afraid. To belong to Jesus is to hear his voice and to hear that he is with us. That he is pursuing us, that he's with us. To belong to Jesus is to follow him. To follow him and him alone. Wouldn't it be wonderful if we could just follow Jesus and Jesus alone, if we stopped listening to all of those other people who would want to be our shepherds, all of those other kind of leaders out there, if we just would follow the Lord Jesus Christ? Follow where it is that he is leading us. Follow where it is that he wants us to go. We would just follow him and ignore everyone else, but follow our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, because he is our shepherd. It's only by following him that we find our salvation. It's only by following him that we know that we are not lost. Trying to follow everyone else, whoever they may be. If that's all we're following, we're going to be lost. But we're called to follow him because we belong to him and he is our shepherd. To belong to Jesus is to know that there is absolutely nothing that can separate us from him. There's absolutely nothing that can separate us from his love. Bombs can't separate us from his love. Terrorists can't separate us from his love. Natural disasters can separate us from His love. Economic collapse can separate us from His love. Family problems can't separate us from His love. Sickness and disease can't separate us from His love. Not even death itself can separate us from the love of God. He is with us. The Lord Jesus Christ is with us. He is our shepherd. He wants us to hear His voice. He wants us to follow Him. He wants us to know, in the midst of whatever may be going on in our world, that He is with us. I know that there are some times that are so dark that it appears that God is absent. I know that there are some valleys that are so deep that we strain to hear the Lord's voice, and all we get is silence. I know that there are times when we feel like uttering, my God, why have you forsaken me? But it's during these times that the Lord wants us to know that He is especially with us. He wants us to know that He has not left us. Just like on that other dark, dark day 2,000 years ago when our Lord hung on the cross, His arms wide open, ready to embrace all of us. God is often with us in the tragedies of our lives. He is often with us in the disappointments of our lives. It's when we are going through those dark, dark valleys. It's when we are going through those difficult moments that our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, our shepherd, wants us to know that He's been there. He's been there in the darkest of times. He knows what it means to suffer the darkest of times. He knows what it means to experience abandonment. He knows what it means to have death on every side. He knows all of that. And He wants us to know that He is with us. Friends, no matter what happens in the world, no matter what happens in your life, God is with us. God is with you. So don't be afraid. Let us pray. Eternal God, You have reminded us this week in a very real way of the fragility of all of our lives. You have reminded us how quickly death and tragedy could overtake all of us. And yet in the midst of all of that, we ask that You help us to fear no evil. We ask that You help us to be Your faithful flock, to hear Your voice, to follow You, to proclaim in the midst of a dark world that You are life and that You have sent Your Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, to be with us and to help us not be afraid. We ask these things in the name of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen.